the parasha Shmini, the Chumash tells us all of the special korbanos that had to be brought on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. These were clearly only a Hirosh, so these are not a din l'dayos. You don't have to bring these special korbanos every year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And nevertheless, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe zehav davar shatziv Hashem ta'asu," and he keeps on referring to this as "kashatziv Hashem es Moshe." Now the Brit Gerov quoted a story from Rashi, beginning of Parashat Tzav, and from the Gemara, and from many Pesukim and Chumash, that the term mitzvah and tziva only applies to a din which is l'dayos. Ain tzava v'loshim ziva is miyad l'dayos. If you only have something that's a hiru ashor, it's called a dvar nevuah. It's not called a mitzvah. It's not called a tziva. So how come over here the Chumash describes this as a mitzvah? Zeh hadavar shaktiv Hashem ta'asu. For what you have to say, I think, is similar to what the Rashi has in the beginning of Parshat Truma. The Chumash says you should make a Mishkan, and then it concludes V'chein Tasu. The Rashi quotes the Gemara V'chein Tasu L'Doris. But in Doris Avonim, when you want to make another Mishkan, you should make it exactly the same. So how is that so? You make the first Beis HaMikdash is made with the exact same proportions as the Mishkan, and the second Beis HaMikdash is made also the same as the Mishkan. The third Beis HaMikdash, everything was different. The first wasn't the same as the Mishkan, the second wasn't the same as the first, and the third is not going to be the same as the second. Each one had different proportions, different dimensions, and different deal. So how come it says the chain tats of the dirt? So some of Farshim explained there, the Arachayim HaKodesh and others, the Biskarov has this in the Sefer HaFumish, that it means the chain tats of the dirt is that whenever you're about to build a Beis HaMikdash, a Mishkan, whenever it happens to come up in the history of the world that you build a Beis HaMikdash, you should do whatever the Navi tells you to do. Just like now, I'm telling Moshe Rabbeinu what the dimensions, there is a din l'doris over here. The din l'doris is that you have to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's a din l'doris. That's a mitzvah l'doris. And the din l'doris is that it has to be done, I'll teach Tzivui HaNavi. Now the Tzivui HaNavi is going to be different each time. It's going to be different by the Mishkan, and by the Bayis Rishon, and by Sheni, and by Sashlish. So perhaps over here also what this means is that this is a din l'doris that you have to bring korbanos for the purpose of Chanukah Beis HaMikdash. Whenever you build a new Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring special korbanos. What korbanos you should bring, that's already going to, the details of the korbanos will already be our Hayru Ashur. But the fact that it's necessary to bring korbanos, that itself is a din l'doris. The Ramban, both on Chumash, Ramban on Chumash and in the Sefer Mitzvot, writes that he thinks this is one of the Tayag Mitzvot, to bring special korbanos on the occasion of Chanukah HaMikdash. That's a din l'doris. What the karbonis will be, that's already Hayrasha. Every time they built the Beis HaMikdash, they brought different karbonis. And how many days to celebrate is also Hayrasha. The days of Moshe Rabbeinu celebrated so many days. Bayis Rishon celebrated a different number of days. Beginning of Bayis Sheni, it says they celebrated a different number of days. The Bayis HaShlishi says Gor, that they'll celebrate from Rosh Chodesh Nissan through Sukkot. They'll be celebrating Agan Tiopet, more than a half a year. They'll be celebrating Chanukah HaMikdash. That's how the Malbim explains on the Pesukim at the end of Sefer Yechezkel. But the din itself, that there should be korbanos on the occasion of Chanukah HaMikdash, that itself is a din l'dor. What the korbanos should consist of, that's already Hayru Hashem. So then we understand why it says Zeh Hadavar Shatziv Hashem Tatsu. This was really a kiyum of the din l'dor, of bringing korbanos for the purpose of Chanukah HaMikdash. Before one can prove that the Ramban is right, that it's really a din l'doris, the principle of the din l'doris, not merely Hayru Ashur, from the Gemara in the first parak in Ma'id Katan. The Gemara says that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when they completed the Bayis Rishon, so they finished the Beis HaMikdash right before Sukkot, and they were celebrating Shivat Yamim and Shivat Yamim. We read in the Haftarah, they celebrated 7 days Chanukah HaMikdash, and 7 days they celebrated Sukkot. So the Gemara says, why did they have to have separate 7 days for Chanukah, celebrating Chanukah HaMishkan, HaMikdash, and a separate 7-day unit of celebrating Sukkot? So the Gemara derives, one opinion derives in the Gemara, that Eimei Avim Simcha B'Simcha from this part. This is one of the Makaras in the Gemara, Eimei Avim Simcha B'Simcha. So the Gemara says, the Gemara raised the question, that the 7 days exactly prior to Sukkot conclude within Yom Kippur. And the Pasuk says in Sefer Melachim that when they built the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon, they were celebrating for 7 days, bringing korbanos and eating. They were eating the Besara korbanos, eating the Shlomo. So how could they eat on Yom Kippur? So one could have said, except for Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, no, that on that year they ate on Yom Kippur because Shlomo HaMelech was done a Kal Vachomer. Madach, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they only built the Mishkan, and wasn't going to be Zosin Chafei Adiyat Poesh of TBC, or the Mishkan that was traveling around in the Midbar, and the very nature of the Mishkan was that it's only Aroi, it wasn't Kavua. Nevertheless, they brought the Karbanos Hanesim. They brought the Karbanos Hanesim even on Shabbos. It was Beis HaShabbos. So Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaLomim. Was certainly permitted to eat on Yom HaKippur, because Yom HaKippur is less common than Shabbos. Eating on Yom Kippur is only in Issa Koros. Doing Malach on Shabbos is in Issa Mita. Issa Mita Tila, Issa B'day Olam. So the Malach Chilo Shabbos is more common than Yom Kippur. The Madach in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu was only a Mishkan that was only the temporary nation. Nevertheless, they were permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Chanukah Tanisim, of the Karbanos Chanukah Tanisim. So the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaLomim, certainly, which is more common, you can certainly eat on Yom HaKippur. So the Chor wants to tie on, and then the Gemara says that the people were a little bit nervous. Maybe the Kal V'chaimer was no good. So the people ate on Yom Kippur, based on the Hayroah of Shlomo HaMelech. They ate. And then the people were a little nervous after Yom Kippur was over. Maybe they did wrong. So Abbas Kol came out from heaven and said, no, everybody's going to get oil on my bone. So the Lachor, the Baskov said, they're going to get out of my bala part of Shabbos, that the Kal V'chaimer was right. The Rashash and Yuma write that it's not so. He thinks that the Baskov just came to cheer them up, and really Shlomo Melech Kal V'chaimer was wrong. But there is the Gemara in Yuma where the Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat on Yom Kippur, even B'mokam Mitzvah. So he says, so how come the Gemara says in my Tzot number 8 and the days of Shlomo Melech for the purpose of the mitzvah of Chanukah Mishkan? So he says, you see that Shlomo Melech's Kal V'chaimer was wrong. I, the Gemara, the Baskov came out to cheer them up, but really the Kal V'chaimer was wrong. The real halacha is not. So the Pashtus that is in the Gemara is not like the Rasha. The Pashtus said is the Baskov came out to say that Kal V'chaimer was right. So one could argue, one could taina against this Kal V'chaimer. We have a klal that we've got to learn that from this Sedra, that Doris Misho Aloy Alfinon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Hayuah Shoah to Aaron of Onov, Masas Teyocha, the Makom Kodesh, they should eat the Karbanos, even though they were Baaninas. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asked this Sirachat, the Dorosh Darash Moshe, the Hinei Surah, why didn't they eat that Baaninas? So Aaron said, that's how the Gemara explains his Lachim. Aaron said, that Doris Misho Loy Alfinon, that the Im Shamaita, the Kachi Shoah, maybe it doesn't apply to Kachi Doris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told you that we are permitted to eat, even though we are all Oinonim, even though his two sons died. You're permitted to eat the special korbanos that were brought only on this special occasion of Chanukah Tam Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told you we are permitted to eat even the steer Rosh Chodesh that's brought every Rosh Chodesh. That he didn't tell you. So maybe you cannot derive one from the other. Maybe you cannot be Dana Mamatina one from the other. Why? So Alpi Pashtus, what the Gemara means to say is that Doris Misho Loy Alfinon, that the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Behem don't apply by a Hayrusha. All it would, the whole yisayid of a Kal V'chaimer, the whole yisayid of a Mamatzin or a Binyan Av, that if you have a din in one pasuk in the Torah, you assume that din applies in all other halachas that seem to be similar, that you have a very good svara l'chalik that's explain why it shouldn't apply. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the din that should eat matzis to Yochel ben Ishri, the matzis that were brought specially on Yom HaShmini Limingun, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. They should eat these korbanos even though they are all in the state of aninus. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was Dana Mamatzina, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told him regarding the Matzis, he was Dana Mamatzina, the same should apply with respect to the Seir Rosh Chodesh. Now the Seir Rosh Chodesh is a real din l'dor. So the halacha that you have a right to be Dana Mamatzina or Kal V'chaimer is all based on the premise that all the Dini HaTorah fit into one big pattern and one big system. But this halacha, this premise, that all Dini HaTorah fit into one system only applies to the dinim that are l'dor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave dinim l'dor that fit into one pattern. But if you have a Hayrusha, obviously it doesn't fit into the pattern. That's a Chiddush. Chiddush is a Yotzei min HaKlal. It only applies on this one occasion. So if it doesn't fit into the pattern, then you have a Klal that Mechiddush Lo Yalpina. You can't learn out from the Hayrusha. So how can the Lechayra, how can Shlomo HaMelech make a Kal V'chaimer that he's permitted to eat? They were permitted to eat on Yom Kippur with a Kal V'chaimer from the fact that they were permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. Why not say that you cannot extend any Hayrusha at all? The Gemara seems to be assuming that the etzim fact that you have to bring korbanos, that itself is not a hayrusha. That itself is really a din l'doro. The details of the korbanos, that's already a din hayrusha. I still don't know exactly why is it that this detail can be derived and this detail not. Why is it the detail of achilah baninus cannot be extended? That's a detail. So that detail could be that a hayrusha, but the fact that it was machal shabbos, that's already a din l'doro. Maybe that's also a detail. Maybe one of the details maybe just the basic din itself is a din l'doros, like the Ramban counts it as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Ramban Achumish Bamidbar, and in the Sefer Mitzvahs counts this as one of the mitzvahs, one of the Taryag mitzvahs, to bring karbonos whenever you build a Beit HaMikdash, to bring karbonos because of Chanukah HaMikdash. So maybe the mitzvah itself is a din l'doros, but all of the details are only Harar Shot. So how did Shlomo HaMelech know that the Chilul Shabbos is really a din l'doros? And whereas in the Chumash itself we see that the Achila Baminis was only a Hirasha.
Well, there's another
Hirasha. Maybe, yeah, but according to my explanation, I thought that not. According to my interpretation, that the reason why Doris Mishole Yachin is Pashor is a Chidish, and the whole Yisrei, the whole premise of a Mamartino, the whole premise of a Binyan Av and a Kavachaymer is based on the assumption that all the Din HaTorah fit into one big pattern, one big system, and whatever is a Din Mishore is, whatever is a Hirosha is obviously a Chidish, doesn't fit into the system. So then you couldn't, according to my understanding, you wouldn't be able to learn how to show Mishore either, the Chayr.
By the harm, right, they could fast in Yom Kippur and unavoid the problem of eating. You have to, I don't know which kapala, but Shlomim has 2 days and for Kavakatis, which they do eat, is Yom Balayla, so you would always be able to avoid Yom Kippur. So I don't understand why they...
But it's mutter, though.
They thought it was a mitzvah to eat?
Yeah. If it's mutter, so then you try to fulfill your mitzvah without violating it. But if it's utro, then you don't even have to try to
violate it.
Right, so he ties it to the shkita, he understands. But why do they have to eat on Yom Kippur? They could have eaten everything on the Sunday Yom Kippur and possibly tomorrow. Apparently they were of the assumption that everything was utro. The fact that you bring karbonis, that karbonis adoche Shabbos, the Gemara says karbonis, the Gemara says in humor. That karbonis, shizmanam kavua, decha Shabbos, is a din of hutra, it's not a din of tefuyah.
This guy
came out of manam kavua. The Chanukah Samikdash has to be these days. When you finish the day, whenever you finish a mishnah, whenever you finish a Beit HaMikdash, that's when it's
supposed
to manam kavua means that this man is nachai, that you should bring it.
If
you wait till another day, you won't be able to get it. Here, let's say if they'll decide, rather than to bring Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Sunday, so that then to bring the carbon on the seventh day on Shabbos, I'll bring it tomorrow. So the other yom of the carbon.
I know the din was that you have to bring from the time you finish it. No, they couldn't bring it
a
week later. Found it now. What was the Rosh Chodesh? To bring carbon on Shabbos is not a Rosh Chodesh. That was the basis for Shlomo Melech's Kal Vachomer was in the Torah. Right?
That's the question. The din that you should bring karbonis whenever you complete the Beit HaMikdash is a din l'doros. But then the details we're assuming were on Harosha.
But
Shlomo
was basing
karbonis
on Shabbos.
But in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they even brought the karbonis on Nisim on Shabbos. The Chanukah Nisim was brought on Shabbos. The question is maybe that detail. Right. That you bring Kamidim and Mesof on Shabbos, that's Manam Kavur, that we know. But the fact that they brought karbonis on Nisim on Shabbos, the Chanukah HaMikdash, that's what Shlomo HaMelech made a Kal Vachomer from. So the question is, maybe that aspect was part of the Hirasha.
And then he calculated that was Shabbos?
The first 12 days in the Chodesh Nisan had to have at least one Shabbos. Only had to have one Shabbos, because the Chodesh Nisan was on Sunday, the Gemara said. So there was one Shabbos. If it would have been 14 days, it would have been 2 Shabbos. 12 days, it was one Shabbos.
It's months worse, there's no need of the Kal Vachomer. Unless that was the point. Maybe the
Kal Vachomer
for the eating and
not
for the...
That this is also called Manakavu. The Chumash has a din of Yayin v'Sheicher al Teish. The din that applies when the Kohanim do Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Avoda Sal Karbonis, and it applies Lahorit in Bnei Yisrael, that a Shikar is also Behayro. One who drank a Revi'is Yayin is forbidden to pass on a Shana. The Gemara has a whole Machlokes HaTanoim in Kritis, what is the status of one who is a shikha mishar mishakir? What if he drank schnapps? He drank something other than wine. Would he have the din of yayin v'shecher al teish? Because shecher in the Chumash does not refer to beer. Yayin v'shecher, Rashi quotes, means yayin derech shikusta. Shecher means that it's wine that's mishakir, it doesn't mean beer. So what if the Kohen drank beer, or he drank schnapps, he drank something other than wine, a shikha mishar mishakir, would he have the dinim of avodosa mechulel lefanah? The Gemara presents all machlokes hatanoim. So the Gemara gives us an example of a shikha mishar mishakir, a Kohen who drank milk. Shotav vash v'cholo. He drank milk and it became shikha. How do you become shikha from drinking milk? Apparently it's shaykh that a person should become shikha. So the Rabbi Chava wrote in one of his svarim that in this Gemara you see that even if one follows the chumra that is said over in the name of Rav Chaim Valozhin, the Gemara has it in that if you don't have wine, then how do you make kiddush and avdala? If you have wine, you're supposed to recite kiddush over wine. If the wine is too expensive, or it's not kosher, or it's just not available, so then you say kiddush over pas. That's how we pass, and the rabbinic time says you can't, but we pass like the other vision that you can say kiddush over pas, and you say avdala over chamar medin. In Europe, apparently, in before the war, this is a very common practice that many people just couldn't afford wine. So they say the Chafetz Chaim rarely ever made kiddush over wine. Most of the time, Ruvi Ruvi said kiddush over the chalas, and he said havdalah, and the others, so the rabbanim, they all said havdalah over chamar medina, over something other than wine. So the question is, what qualifies for chamar medina? So we want to talk about beer. What if the chamar medina is Pepsi Cola? What if it's hot tea or coffee or something? So some Gdolim say in the name of Rav Chaim Valozhin, others attribute it to other Gdolim, that it's only considered Chamar Medina if it's a needed mishaka. If it's some intoxicating beverage, and the minigam dina is to serve it to people derech kovet. Some if it's Pepsi Cola and you can't get drunk from that, even though that's the way you mechabit people, or it's hot coffee, hot tea, whatever, so that doesn't constitute Chamar Medina. What is it based on? Based on the Gemara, the last parak in Pesachim. Gemara says in Avot Pesachim that once on the Tzei Shabbos they had to say Havdalah and they didn't have any wine, so they made Havdalah over some kind of a beer that was made from date juice. And then the fellow who drank that beer was drunk the whole night and the whole day. The next day and he said, this stuff is really Chamar Medina. This is the real Makor. So from the Gemara, it might appear a little bit, not really the parish. It might appear that it only qualifies as Chamar Medina if it's needed in Mishnah. He could say that he didn't mean that. He was just praising the Chamar Medina. He said this is real good stuff. Didn't necessarily mean to say that it qualifies as Chamar Medina because of the fact that he got so drunk from. So if one should assume like that, the question is, what if you live in a country where the minigam dina is in the Chabad people with a drink of milk? Would that be considered Chamar Medina? Is milk needed in Mishnah? So the Ragat Shova has in one of his forums a raya from this Gemara in Kritis that Gemara has in a few places that the Gemara considers this a shikra mishar mishakir. A person who drank milk can get drunk.
Even the
I think the Gemara has he drank either dvash kama or cholov kama or dvela kilis or dvela kilis. I think the Gemara means either A or B or C or D. The Gemara has a list of things. So he said, you see from this Gemara that if a person drinks, the Gemara talks about drinking warm milk. The Gemara distinguishes between warm milk and cold milk. If the milk is warm, it'll make you tired. It'll put you to sleep. If the milk is cold, then it won't put you to sleep. So the Rav Chava said that based on this Gemara, it would appear that milk is considered the needed in Mishak, and even though it's want to be machna for this supposed chumra of Abchaim Valozhin or whoever else said it, a milk would qualify as Chamar Medina. So years ago, there was an institute here in the yeshiva, the Tzav Mefanech Institute. So they had many Tzavim of the Rav Chava that they were working on, and they published a few volumes of Svarim, and then they went out of business, I think. Yeah, someone else must have taken over now. I don't know where it is now. So at that time, Dr. Belkin, used to stay over once in a while, Chidushim from the Rav Chava. So as they were discovering new things, they would tell them what they found. So Dr. Belkin once told this over to Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he didn't like this in the biggest way. So he said that he thought that was utterly wrong. He thought that if you hold it, you need a mishaker for Chamar Medina, it means that it makes you drunk. But the Gemara over here doesn't, that's what he thought. He thought that the Gemara here doesn't mean that the Kohen is a shikar mishar mishakim, that he's drunk, he's drowsy. The Gemara just says that if you drink warm milk, it makes you drowsy, it puts you to sleep. So the Gemara, that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that the Gemara means to say that milk is needed in the shaker in this sense. Ashita Mishan Shaker means that the Kohen was not drunk, but rather he was half asleep because of something that he ate. If he's tired, then it's not called the Shika Mishan Shaker. But if he's tired because of something that he ate that made him tired and made him a little made it difficult for him to concentrate on what he was doing, that's called the Shika Mishan Shaker. This is the chiluk that he thought. The question, others in two says not so. Who said the Gemara said that milk is needed in the shaker?
He
takes that pill
and then
thinks he's drowning. So that's what the Gemara is driving at. So that would be called the Shikha Misham Shak. Unless it's Chama Medina. Chama Medina means that. That's what he said? I'm not water. Water can't be passed by Chama Medina. Chamadina has to be something that you're mechavet people to drink even if they're not thirsty. That's how Moshe writes in his sefer. It means water, you're never mechavet people to drink water unless they're thirsty. They're not going to drink water. Pepsi Cola you can drink even if you're not thirsty. Tea, coffee, some countries people drink tea or whatever even if they're not thirsty. They enjoy the flavor of beer. The Shikurim who drink schnapps are not thirsty. They want to have schnapps. It's a different, that's not, so that's that's a different problem. Hadar Rabbi Hihana says that since no one ever drinks schnapps when they're thirsty, so that's why schnapps perhaps should be considered a maichel, shouldn't be considered a mashka. That's why Rav Chaim Volozhin arrived. So he quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin that he doesn't understand how people say kiddush over schnapps on Shabbos morning, so it's like making kiddush over soup, over barley soup. So here it's more liquidy. He said no one ever drinks schnapps when they're thirsty. People, they don't drink it when they're hungry either. But he said, so it's a liquid maichel. The difference between a maichel and a mashke is not so much. Rav Chaim doesn't explain the whole thing, but other poskim say, based on the Rishonim saying like that, the difference between a maichel and a mashke is not so much whether it's a solid or a liquid, but rather whether it's something that you drink as a beverage or not. So if it's not a beverage, whether it's in a solid state or a liquid state, that would be considered a maichel. That's why soup, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of Chayyarim, that soup is considered an oichel, and if you drink a kazayas of soup, you say a bonafash. You don't drink a revias of soup. It's not a mashka. People don't drink soup on the thirsty, they drink soup on the hunger. So other rabbis, some say the kosher glover has a tshuva based on this svara, and he says the same, he figured out the same as Rav Chaim Volozhin. He writes that the first can discuss how come people make kiddush on Shabbos morning on a glass of schnapps that's so tiny it doesn't have a reviv, it doesn't have a beit hamachzor. So he says you don't have to have a beit hamachzor. Why? He says that it's an oichel, it's not a mashke. So since it's an oichel, all you need is a kazayit. And a kazayit is a machlokes how big it is, whether it's a third of an egg or a half an egg. And the Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Pesach that with respect to a din d'oraisa, you require the shear l'chumra, you require the larger shear. In the sector of Dindar Rabbanan, you can make them. We discussed it, that for matzah you need chatzi beit, and for morav is not as good as only the Rabbanan, so it's sufficient with a shlish beit. So the Kozhik Lover writes in the Tshuva, Kozhik Lover is killed by the Nazis, right in the war. So the Kozhik Lover writes in his Tshuva that since schnapps is not a mashke, nobody drinks schnapps when they're thirsty, so that shows that it's not a beverage, so it's a maichel, so therefore the shear is kazai. And usually the schnapps glasses will have a third of a dates of Dain in it, do you think that that's sufficient? But then if Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, he understands that reason, because schnapps is not a beverage, that's the reason why you can't use it for kiddush. That's what he's telling you. How can you make kiddush over a bowl of soup? It's not called a kosher. Kiddush, you have to say a bracha ala kosher. It's not a kosher. So it means that you're drinking a beverage.
A beverage is not something you drink in
a kosher. No, it has to be something that people drink when they're thirsty. But then to qualify as a Chamar Medina, it has to be something that people will drink even when they're not thirsty. But if it's not something that they ever drink when they're thirsty, it has nothing to do with quenching thirst, and lechorah it's not lechorah it's not a beverage at all. Lechorah it can't be called a bracha lakos. If you only drink it when you're thirsty, then it's the same din as Mayim. That's the meaning of Hamdina. If people only drink it when they're thirsty, then it doesn't qualify as Chamar Medina. Then it's just the same as water. If they never drink it when they're thirsty, then it's like soup. Then it's called an oichel. And if they sometimes drink it when they're thirsty, sometimes not, so the fact that they drink it when they're thirsty gives it the shame of a mashke, And then even if you, since you would drink it even lekovit, so then it's called hamamadim. Yeah, there's a lot of foods that we eat when we're not hungry. Let's say potato chips, other candy. We don't eat it when we're hungry. A lot of foods we don't eat when we're hungry. It's called another time. Anything that we eat that's not a beverage, that we never drink for the purpose of quenching our thirst, is called another time. Even if it's in a liquid state. Igmar in the third paragraph of Moed comments about the fact that Aaron was a Kohen Gadol, and he said that Ani Hikrafti, the Igmar comments on the pasuk, Hein Hikrivu, Ani Hikrafti. Right, that an Oinen, a regular Kohen who's an Oinen, Aaron said, Vadabar Aharon al Moshe, Hein Hayom Hikrivu, Spatos, Masailos, Masnashen, did they mock with it? I was mocked with it. The since I'm a Kohen Gadol, so Kohen Gadol is makir v'ayin ve'ein oichal oinim. And the others who are kohanim have yotin can not only not eat when they're oinim, they cannot even be makir korbanos when they're in the state of aninim. The Gemara comments, how come the Kohen Gadol can be makir when he is in the state of aninim? It's because Kohen Gadol kol hashana kula ki Yisrael baregel domin. The Gemara says, Kohen Gadol all year long has the same status as Yisrael on Shalvash Regolim, that since we have a chi of simcha, therefore that's how the Rav Shalvashik interpret the Gemara. The Gemara is a little bit obscure. But the Rav explained what it means is that since on Shalosh Regalim we have a Chiyuv Simcha, the Chiyuv Simcha is Mevatel the Din of Avelis, but the Gemara seems to assume that it's also Mevatel the Din of Aninus. And the Kohen Gadol all year long is permitted to be Makrif Korbanos even though he is in a state of Aninus. The fact that the Kohen Gadol all year long has a Chiyuv Simcha. Why does Kohen Gadol all year long have a Chiyuv Simcha that equates him with his Yisrael on Shalosh Regalim? Kohen Gadol kol hashana kula ki Yisrael baregel domin. That's where Rav Leitchik had a whole yisoid that it would appear from this Gemara that the yisoid of Chiyuv Simcha is the obligation to be in the state of Lifnei Hashem. So on Shalosh Regalim where everybody has the Chiyuv to be Oilo Regel, so we have a Chiyuv Simcha. Simcha means when one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfos has one opinion in the beginning of Eilu Megalchim, the third paragraph of Moed Katan, that the Chiyuv Simcha deraisa on Shalosh Regalim is only Bizman HaMikdosh when you actually bring the Korbanos. But Bizman HaZeh that we are unable to bring Korbanos, so the whole Chiyuv Simcha is only the Rabbanos. Other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos, the Goyim, the Rif and the Goyim disagree with Tosfos, they hold that the Chiyuv Simcha Bizman HaZeh is also deraisa because we have theoretically a Chiyuv to be Lifnei Hashem. We just don't have the ability to fulfill that Chiyuv, but theoretically we have a Chiyuv to be Lifnei Hashem. So just like the Yisrael on Shalosh Regalim is supposed to be Lifnei Hashem and that engenders the Chiyuv Simcha, the Tamachta B'Chagecha, so too the Kohen Gadol all year long has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, it's quoted of the Sefarto Shal HaKohen Gadol, that he has to be present in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. And therefore the Gemara understood that Kohen Gadol kol hashana ki Yisrael baregel domin, he has a Chiyuv Simcha which is deicha his din avelus. It would appear from his Gemara that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe avelus. That's the Pashup Shat in that Gemara, my question. Kohen Gadol doesn't observe avelus. The Rambam paskens not so. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah that the Kohen Gadol does observe avelus. So the Achrayim Meir, that the Rambam, the Imrei Bina, not Achrayim Meir, the Rambam is against the Gemara. My question. So the first Kohen Gadol doesn't observe avelus. And the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol is makir v'ayin because all year long he has a din like Yom Tov. So from this Gemara would appear that a Yisrael Baregel could be makir v'ayin. What do you mean makir? Yisrael doesn't drink karbonis. He doesn't do the hakrolat karbonis. Now we have another din. That an ovel, einu mishaleach karbonis, the one who is an oinen or an ovel rachmana l'tzlan is not even permitted to bring a karbon to the Beit HaMikdash and have the Kohan do the avodah b'kanam amantiyat on oinen it. If the Bala Korban is an oinen or an ovel, then he's forbidden to bring a korban to the Beit HaMikdash, even to give it to Achelim, the Shaleach Korbanos. So the Chorah, based on this Gemara, it would appear that the fact that the Kohen Gadol kol hashana kula, he sold the regal dummy, that's what allows the Kohen Gadol to be makir v'ayin v'ein oichal oinen. So the din was to follow that Yisrael baregel, Yisrael on Shalosh Regalim, is permitted to be makir korbanos even though he's in the state of aninus. He's just not permitted to eat korbanos. So this is the question that's raised by the Mishnah Melech and by the Chulin Binyan Tzion they discussed it, because there is a Yerushalmi where the Yerushalmi says that the Bavli says in Bava Madlikim that Dovan HaMel died on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says Dovan HaMel died on Shavuot. There's no stew, maybe Shavuot fell out on Shabbos. But the Yerushalmi says that he died on Shavuot and therefore all of the Jews had a status of Anida. because the melach shemeis hakol kroivok, the Gemara has a din like that. Nasi shemeis hakol kroivok, hakol kroivok salgadaitach means everybody has to observe abeilus as if it would have been kroivok. So since the melach has a din of melach, everybody has to observe a certain din of aninus, so they were forbidden to bring the oilus riyo on that yontav shavuot, that everybody had to bring tashlumen. They had to bring it after Shavuot. Normally the din is that you bring, whoever didn't bring oilus riyo on Shavuot brings it the next 7 days. And here nobody brought it on Shavuot, so they were all in a state of aninus. So that's what the Binyan Sion discusses, and the Mishmar Melech before him discusses, why should they have this status of aninus? If Kangol all year long is Makar Goinin, because Kangol Kalashan Kul, if you saw Beregel Domi, but then it follows that you saw Beregel should also be Makar Goinin Vein Oichaloinin, not Makar, to be Makar the Karbona to do Zikas Adam, Haktor, no, he's a Zar, he can't do that anyway. That means to be Mishaleach Karbonaisa. So why did the Yerushalmi say that they couldn't bring the Karbona to Oilus Riyah on Shavuot? So that's the Shai, based on the Gemara's equation, it should follow that they should have done it. Aninus Lila Zeraisa, he wouldn't be able to eat. Yeah, well, to eat, even the Kangaroo, yeah. Even the Kangaroo doesn't eat. That part fits in well. But the Shah is, what about to be Makri? What about to be Makri, the Karbana?
You didn't say about the coin system level of Shush that he had before, he didn't basically just know he had the dozen, he didn't basically touch, he couldn't differentiate the system level of Shush. So when we say that the coin brother is a proof on the Snei Hashem and the Gregor, does that mean even when he's home, when he's done, he doesn't come in that day, or what it means when he has all the dozen, he's in the basic exam? If he doesn't have all the dozen, he has the status of coin brother?
Yeah. Because he has a chiyuv to be in the Beis Hamikdash all day long. Even if Lamaisa he doesn't do it, he maintains his status of Kangaroo all day long.
When he's sorry, the Gemara brings that from Haksaru, and I was calling God, and that was a present knowledge for us of Beregel.
Beregel.
And the Gemara makes that equation on that din. So over there, he's
obviously not wearing the big Beis Hamikdash.
And he doesn't have a chiyuv to be in the Beis Hamikdash.
Well, some theoretically he has this din. He is, as the Kohen Gadol, supposed to be in the Beis Hamikdash. He's not able to fulfill the mitzvah because he's a mitzor. But you see that he maintains the status of the Kohen Gadol even if he's a mitzor. Yeah, that's what you see. The Torah writes afterwards in Parsha Shmini all the dinim of Simonei Behema Tahoira. You have to have Malagim after Sarsa, then Simonei Dogim. To identify whether any given fish are kosher or treif, we have to have snap of the kaskeses. Then as far as oifas are concerned, oif has to be nechol b'maser. You have to have a tradition, because there are no simonim. The Gemara Chulin and Elo Treifas gives you simonim. How do I identify whether any given bird is kosher or treif? But these simonim are not the dinim. They happen to be biological. There are simanim to know whether any given bird falls into this category of treifa bird or not, but al pidin, that's not what's matter that you would eat the bird. You have to know whether it's a kois, a tinshomet, a shovach, a hafiga, and so on. If it's not one of these, then they're kosher. Then the Torah has later a din of hivdaltem. It's a din of havdola. Then the Sefer Achinuch, and in the Tshuvos HaRivosh, they write a chiddush based on this, the hivdaltem. That even if a person, let's say, will eat a kosher fish, but he didn't check the simonim beforehand, so he didn't know whether the fish was kosher or treif. He was hoping that it's kosher, but he didn't know in advance. Let's say he takes a behemah and he checks it, and he doesn't know what behemahs look like. So he doesn't know if this is an elephant or a horse or a dog or a cow or a goat. He doesn't know, a lamb. He doesn't know what it is. He checks it. He knows how to do shatita. Okay. Okay, so let's say it's not a camel. Anything but a camel. So let's say he shechs the bane and he eats it, but he didn't know in advance whether this was a kosher animal or not. Then it turned out later on that he was lucky. It happened to be a kosher animal that he ate. So he didn't. It turns out that he didn't violate the Yisr law of eating a treif, a dog tome or a behemoth mayo. But he was mevatel in mitzvah sese. He violated this sese of the hiddaltim. Hiddaltim means that you should be boidik in the simon. And this is quoted by the Pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. There's an answer to the Beit Ikdis Simon. What does it mean every time you catch a fish you have to be Beit Ikdis Simon? What if you can identify that this is a tuna fish? I look at the fish and I know that that's a tuna fish. I have 100 tuna fish in the thing and I look at each one and I say they all look the same, they're all tuna fish. I already saw a tuna fish once. And once somebody once checked the tuna fish and he saw that it has snap of the cascasses. And then later on I take I've already established that tuna fish have snap of the cascasses. So each and every time I catch a tuna fish I have to check to see if it has snap of the cascasses. So the Darki Tshuva by the Munkacha writes that that's not correct. He doesn't think that any Pesach in the world would say like that. He says Das kol haposkim haskemes, that there is no such din. Halacha is that you have to, if you've already determined that a tuna fish is a kosher min, so you don't have to check to see that each and every tuna fish has snap of the cascasses.
You have to determine whether each and every one is a tuna fish.
Yes.
That nobody would argue on.
Right, right. You have to know that it's a tuna fish. But if you have a tvia sayin to identify what a tuna fish looks like or tastes like, if you know what a tuna fish looks like, you may be mistaken. You may think that you have a tvia sayin. Maybe other fish that taste the same look the same as tuna fish. But if the facts are so, that you have a tvia sayin what a tuna fish is like, then there is no din. The Dr. Chu writes, there is no din. You have to check each and every tuna fish to see. Let's say I know that cows or goats or sheep or lamb have malagir mafis parsa. So I take a goat and I know this is a goat, this is a lamb, this is a sheep, this is a cow. And I check that. I have to check to see if the hooves are split and I have to check to see if it's malagir. What if I don't look? They take the shechet in and he shechts it and then he broils it and eats it right away. He saw in 1 second, he sees that it's a goat. He doesn't see the feet, let's say the bane is wearing shoes, socks, whatever. He doesn't see whether it's Marcus Parasit. He doesn't see that it's Malagera. So the din says that you don't have to check. As long as you know what the Min HaBehena is, and you have it to be assigned what this Min Behena is. So then this whole last day doesn't apply.
Even if the cow didn't have Marcus Parasit,
right, that's the Machlege Satanah. We pass them also, it's Mutah. I call it then Parvez Mutah. If a cow gives birth to a lad that had a mutation and Parsos of Pluto, so the Gemara has a Machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanon and Parvez in the first Parvez and Baruch Kama, and we pass from that it's Mutah. That's called Kolot Ben Parvez. Parvez gave birth to a Kolot. In the list of the non-kosher Eifers, the Chumash says that a Bas Hayano is traced. So the Gemara Chulin comments on Daf Samach Dalet. What does that mean? A Bat Hayano? Bat Hayano means Beitzas Oif Tomei. That not only is the Oif Tomei itself also, even the eggs that come from the Oif Tomei, eagle eggs or ostrich eggs, whatever, these are also traits. You're only permitted to eat eggs from a kosher bird. And the same is true regarding milk, the Gemara says. You're not permitted to drink milk from a behemoth male, only milk from a behemoth male. And it's based on this passage, Bat Hayano. So just like Beitza, so if something is forbidden, so to Cholo, Behemet Meyo, is also forbidden. Exactly to what extent is this forbidden? Does one get Malchus if you drink the milk from a Behemet Meyo? Or if you eat the eggs from an ostrich or the eggs from an eagle? The Rab Chaim in the Sefer has a long Arichas, that's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam. Tosfos writes in Chulin and Adav, Tosfos writes in the Ferish that there is Malchus. And the Rambam writes in the Ferish that there's no Malchus. But there's only Malchus if you eat the actual Macholot Asuris itself. If you eat the oif tomei itself, and you eat the besad behemoth mei itself. But if you eat a yoytzim and also true yoytzim and also is an iser, bas hayano, the rabbi's beitza, oif tomei, but it's only an iser asay, and there's no iser la. It's based on this machlokes tesis in the Rambam that they have another machlokes tesis, the Rambam have another machlokes regarding the Mishnah in Maseches Trumas. The Mishnah says, or the Sefer Chumash, that a non kohen is forbidden to eat Trumas. Everybody knows that. A czar is for a forbidden to eat truma. What if a czar goes ahead and eats truma? So if he ate the shogeg, he has to give karen mechonish to the kohen. If he ate of a mezid, so there's no din of chonish, he just has to give karen because he stole the kohen's truma. He just has to give the karen, and he doesn't have to be mezid chonish. So what happens if the czar didn't actually eat the truma itself, the teres themselves that were truma? What if he ate, what if he drank the mashkin hayotzim min hateres? So the Mishnah says there's a machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. The mashkin hayotzim min hazeisim min hamelvin they both agree that you have to give Karen a French. The Mashma Yoik Mishar Peiris is a Machloikis Atanoim, but he has to be Moshe French. And we pass on to Rabbi Shua, the entry of Lerner, the Mark of Lerner, Shamutehu. Mark of Lerner, the son of Hamid, the Shammai, we rarely pass on like Rabbi Lerner. Rarely, really, really. Only Gemara says four places in Gan Shas. That's pretty great. Whenever he disagrees, the Gemara in the first parak in Nida has only four places in Shas that we pass like Rabbi Lerner. So here we pass like Rabbi Shua also, but only Amashkan Ayotim and Azaisim and Anofim, if a Zar eats it as Yvoike, and he has to be Moshe Chaimish, and if he eats Amashkan Ayotim and Shar Peiriz, you don't have to be Moshe Chaimish, and there's no Malchus. Why not? So the Gemara uses a Losh, and the Gemara says that that's Zeya B'Yalm. What does that mean, Zeya B'Yalm? So according to the Rambam, we understand very well what it means. The Rambam learns the Gemara to Tshuva, that if you drink the Amashkan Ayotim and Azaisim and Minho Anofim, means if you drink olive oil or you drink wine, that's considered as if you ate the original tree itself. If you ate the original tree, but then there would be malchus on that. If a non-Kayan eats truma, or let's say you have it's a shaila with a truma mishar peris ilan is deraisa derabbanan. Most of the Rishonim hold that truma is only deraisa on dog and tirush v'yitzah. And there's a shaila when you speak about Tirush V'Yitza, what does that mean? Does that only mean Zaytim Anovim? Or does it mean all Peres Elon? So the Rambam Shita is that all Peres Elon are Chayiv in Shumas and Maisis Menata, and the writer disagrees. The writer says no. Like Rashi and Tez, only don't Tirush V'Yitza. So on the Mashma Yoyt, Mishar Peres Elon, as far as Shuma for a non-Kohen is concerned, look, everybody would agree that there's no point of Rokha Rishonim against the Rambam. Everybody would agree that there's no Malchus. And not least that they're right. And most you can have is Marcus Martyr. Well, let's concentrate on another case. Let's say you had Orla. Orla is noig. I'll be partial. Orla is noig in all Peres Elon. Even if you hold that Ravai is limited adopted to Kerem, but the din of Ravai only applies to grapes, the din of the fourth year only applies to grapes. But the Pashtus of Rov HaRishonim is against, there's a Rashi in one place and a Balamor, where they say that if you hold that Ravai is limited adopted to Kerem, that even Orla is also limited adopted to Kerem. But all the Rishonim disagree, and they say it's not so. That even if Ravai is limited to Kerem, only to grapes, but Orla applies to all Peres Elon. So what if anybody will eat Orla? Then we get Malchus. What if you drink the Mashkem HaYotzim? If it's Mashkem HaYotzim and Azaisim and Anovim, so again you get Malchus. Mashkem HaYotzim from Shar Peres, that'll be the Machlekes between Ablezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the Rambam understands what is the machlekes and why do we talk about Rabbi Yeshua that there's no malchus from the mashma yotzim from the shar peiris, only from zaytim or novim. So the Rambam holds because the mashma yotzim from the shar peiris is like bas hayana. If you drink chol of behemoth meyo or you eat the dates of soif tomei, that's certainly an isa deraisa, but it's only an isa resi. You wouldn't have any malchus there either. So the same over here, the mashma yotzim from shar peiros. There's an Issa Yotze, it's not the original Issa itself. So on an Issa Yotze, one wouldn't get any Malchus. Mashenikin on the Mashkana Yotze, and on the Yotze, and on the that's considered a liquid state of the tree itself. And if it's considered as it, you ate the tree. So if it happens to be Truma, a Zar would eat it, it would be Chayit Kremish, it would be Chayit Malchus. It's like a Zar Shochal Perish of Truma Mamish. And if it happens to be Orla, whoever eats it would be Loike because he's eating Orla. Tosis cannot learn like this simple pshat of the Rambam, because Tosis holds that even if you drink kol of behemoth meyo, if you eat beitzas oif tomei, you also get malchus. But on the isa yoytze, there's also malchus. So what's the pshat in the Gemara of Zeya B'Yalma? It's not even yoytze. It's not even yoytze. Why is it not even yoytze? So Tosis is trying to figure out, why is it not even yoytze? So you say, let it be tam kike, why shouldn't it be yoytze? It's have a very hard time explaining why it's not yoytze. It's very shvet. Why should it, what does that mean, Zay of the Yom? But according to the Rambam, it's very posh.
There's no
That's how the Gemara darshins. I don't think that's the posh of Shah. I think the Vasayan is a Joshua. The Pashup Shad is that that's the description. That's the name of it. The name of, yeah. It's two words in the Chumash, but it's a description of that verse. So the Gemara Darshan refers to the Bas of the Yan. The Yan is the bird and the Bas is the base. I don't think it's Pashup Shad. I think it's a Joshua. The Rambam also happens to write Rambam happens to write that this din of Bas Hayana, that Yotzim and Asur is Asur, only applies if the Yisur itself is an Yisur Malkus, an Yisur Lav with Malkus. If the Yisur to begin with is only an Yisur Esay, then there wouldn't be any Malkus. The Rambam was forced into this because of Akasha, that all of the Rishonim asked against him. The Gemara later in Ksubas on Daf Samach speaks about drinking Chol HaVodim. That to drink human milk, there's no Yisur. So the Shaila is, what about eating human flesh? Is there anything wrong with eating human flesh? So while a person is alive in the stomach, there's an Yisur. And here's what he says. Shaila, if the person dies, if the person dies, then the Meis is also Manos. Again, there's nothing to discuss. What about Meis HaYakum? If one should hold that Meis HaYakum HaMutta Banu, say this in Bogotan in the first paragraph. Shulchan Aruch says that Meis HaYakum HaRosa Banu. The Shaila is that an Yisur Derais, an Yisur Derabbana. So a Shaila. So let's assume, like the Tosfos in Bava Kamma, that Meis HaYakum HaMutta Banu, the whole source of Meis HaYakum being also Banu, is Vatama Shom Miriam. And Miriam happened to be Jewish. So Tosfos claims that the Yisur HaNoah on a Meis only applies to Meis HaYakum Yisrael. It doesn't apply to Meis HaYakum. If you should assume like that, one should assume that Meis HaYakum HaMutta Banu is a Gemara. We're only going to quote the Rishonim book. The Gemara in the second half in Sanhedrin says that David HaMelech was Mekadesh Shaul's daughter by giving him all the saplishti. He gave him dead bodies. So they, and the Gemara speaks about the fact that they were they shavat puta, how much were they shavat? How can they be shavat puta if it's also banu? So it's a meis who's also banu, even if it's only also banu with the rabbanim. It's not shavat puta. The Gemara says if you're in the Kaddish with Chomet, that's also banu with the rabbanim. The Gemara says also she's in the Kodesh. How does the Gemara say that the oral of plishtim is shavat puta? If it's also banu, you see in that Gemara, what it's either Meis HaYakum HaMutta Banu. So the Shaila is Mutta Banu. What about Bachilun? Are you permitted to eat it or not? Is it Mutta Bachilun? But the Rambam writes clearly not that there's an Yisur Aseh. What's the Yisur Aseh? The Chumash says that Zeh Toklu, these are the animals that you permit. A yotzei from an isu which has an isa lav. If the isa has no isa lav with malchus, it's not a dovah shalokim olav, then the yotzei will not be osur either. Because the yano itself is no iskame. He says, eat the yano, you get malchus. So that's why the betos hayano is an isa rasei. Or let's say, if you eat besar behem etmeya, you get malchus. If you drink cholov behem etmeya, so that's an isa rasei. But to drink chol of Adam, the Rambam apparently holds his mutter. Why? Because even to eat besar Adam, although it is an Isur Derais, it doesn't constitute an Isur Lav. It's only an Isur Aseh. So the Rambam holds that there's no din of Yotzim in Ha'asur. The Isur itself is only an Isur Aseh. That's why perhaps one should be led to perhaps say a Chiddush that a Yotzim from a Yotzim should be mutter. Let's say I have something that's a Yotzim in Ha'asur. And the Rambam sheet is that it's only an Isur Aseh. Look at the Rambam and Tosfos, whether you get malchus on drinking kol habayim with mei, or do you get malchus on eating beitzas oistame. But the Rambam sheet is that there's no malchus. It's like chot v'shir, just an Isur Aseh, there's no Isur malchus, no Isur lav. So if you have a yotzei from a yotzei, the lechor should follow that should be mutter. According to the Rambam, that should be mutter. Some posts can claim when you have an Isur Shemishtana, there's a whole deal in posts. If you have an Isur Shemishtana, so there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether you're permitted to eat it or not. Let's say you had a tray for wine that was converted into chaklanuk. That's Dam Yena. It underwent such a major chemical change. Now it tastes sweet. It has a completely different flavor. It doesn't taste sharp. It doesn't taste sharp at all. It tastes like coffee now. It tastes like chocolate. Some of that still tastes like, I don't know if that's called the shtana, but it still tastes like the milk. It's Mishkan HaAsura, yeah. But in order to discuss whether Mishkana should be Mutter, all opinions by Mishkana, either Mishkana is Mutter or Rasa, I think it only has to be very, very Mishkana. Mishkana is true alone is not enough. You convert a thousand water to liquid to yourself, that wouldn't be called Mishkana. But if you have a major change and it doesn't resemble the original food at all, then you have different opinions in Rishonim and in Shulchan Aruch, whether it remains Rasa or it becomes Mutter. Anisa Shemishkana. So some hold that Nisa Shemishtana is Asur, but it's not the original Easter, it's only a Yotam in Asur. So they quote the Shem Abkhaim. Bishop Abkhaim is the Ashmua, has such a chizish. Another Gdolim also suggests such an idea that a Nisa Shemishtana should be Asur, but maybe it's not the original Easter, maybe it's only Nisa of a Yotam in Asur. If you say like that, then if it's been Mishtana twice, then according to the Rambam, it should be Mutta, because there's no Yotam. You can't have a yaitse from a yaitse, because the first time it was a yaitse, there was no malchus, there was only an isur esse, there was no isur la. So then the Rambam writes that there's no yaitse, unless the thing from which it's being yaitse had with it an isur malchus. So that is going to be pasmak the Rambam and us. Shai?
But
what
about
the new body?
Isn't
the new body
available?
Isn't the new
body?
Human body, that's a shame. If you don't need shchita, let's say fish don't need shchita. So there's no isur available. The Torah only requires shchita by behemoth and by yoter. By Yodam it never says you need shchita. Okay. I guess so.
How many
you know, a main problem is Matame, yeah. But there's no.
Yeah. So
it doesn't make a difference whether you shech them or not. Even if you shech them, it's still going to be a main. Make me that he's dead. It doesn't mean how he died. Doesn't matter how he died. But the hem of the yoke is a very fakosim that makes a difference if he did a shchita, he didn't make a shchita. By any other animals, the Torah doesn't say, it doesn't make any difference. Rabbi Tzvi Leponavezh has in his sefer Zecha Yitzchok a chiddush of an interpretation of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah at the end of the second Torah. The Gemara there speaks about eating fish where you haven't checked the simonim. You didn't check to see if it has not a kasketus or not. So the Gemara says that you're not, even if you have reason to believe that all of these fish are really kosher meaning, but you didn't, they came from a certain area in the river where you know that they're always kosher fish. But you didn't check the simonim and nobody else checked the simonim either. They were goyim. Let's say goyim caught fish and they sell it to you. And the goyim have non amonim. But you know the rove is that they're probably kosher fish. So the Gemara at one point says a distinction that to eat the fish themselves is forbidden. But to drink the tzir of the dogim, to drink the juice, the brine that comes out from the fish, that would be permissible. So how would one understand that distinction? So if you hold that the tzir dogim is only the rabbanon, the Supreme Rabbi points out there's a machlokes between Tosis and the Rambam, whether less at tzir and veroitzim, like Mar learns that from the pasuk, Eila hatneim lachem less at tzir and veroitzim, that the tzir of dogim's name is also us. The Tosis sheet is that that's only an isa de rabbanon, the Rambam holds that that's an isa de rabbanon. So if you hold that the tzir dogim's name is only an isa de rabbanon, so you can say, with respect to the seer, it's a sfeika the rabbanu l'kula. With respect to the actual dogim, the psara dogim, it's a sfeika the raisa l'chumah. But if you hold like the Rambam, that the seer dogim t'neim is an isa deraisa, the manishtana, what's the difference between the psara dogim and the seer of the dogim? If you say you're not permitted to eat the dogim themselves, because you treat it as a suffix, maybe it's strange. But then how are you permitted to eat the seer? At one point in the Gemara, one mandam in the Gemara makes such a distinction. It's very strange. But Rabbi Tzvi Leponavezh says that with this Rambam we can understand why. That if you know that the rove is, the Nochri has no name on it when he comes, but I know where the Nochri was fishing. And the rove indicates that that when you go fishing at that spot in the river, you're going to get tuna fish, you're going to get kosher fish. But the Rivash writes in the Tshuva that since the Torah says the Hivdalten, you have to have a Din Havdalah, so Rov doesn't help. Even though the Rov indicates that it's probably a kosher fish, you're not Mekayim Havdalah if you didn't check to see that it's a tuna fish. And no one checked to see if it has snapper bekatkeset. So that's why it would be forbidden to eat the fish itself because of the Din of the Hivdalten. The Rivash writes, you're not allowed to follow the Rov because even with the Rov, you're violating the Esther of the Hivdalten. Hivdalten tells you not to rely on a Rov. But since the whole Isar of the fish itself is only an Isar Aseya, the Hivdalten is not an Isar La. It's not that it's a Daktami. The Daktami, Isar Achil is Daktami, it's Mutu because you follow Rov. And the Rov indicates that it's going to be a kosher fish. There are people who go fishing at this spot in the river, catch kosher fish. But the Esay, the Hivdalten, tells me not to rely on that Rov. So the only Isar, the only prohibition involved in eating the fish itself is an Isar Esay. So then the tzir that comes out from the fish would be mutter, according to the Rambam, we understand that Gemara. So the din of Yotzim and Ha'aser Aser doesn't apply if the original thing itself only had an Isar Esar, only if it has an Isar Lach.
So does this also mean you can't be someone on a rope?
Yes. That's how the Rivash writes in the Tshuva.
So a fish can't be bottled around?
If it's chopped up, it's bottled around. Let's say if I have a trace of fish chopped up, it's not a fish.
Why?
But then it didn't bottle around. It's like a trace of fish like
that.
It doesn't mean that lahatchila, I want to buy a fish from a goy. The goy often didn't have no money. And I can't identify this fish. I don't have it to be assigned to know whether this is a tuna fish. And it doesn't have snapper bekatkeset, so let's say the skin of the fish was removed already. So even though I know that real people that go fishing in this part of the river catch kosher fish, the Gemara says you're not allowed to eat that fish. Why? Someone might perhaps suggest that it's a chumrei derabanan something, so the Rivash says no, that's this essay. The Rivash says this is the essay that the Sefer HaKinuch has of the Hivdalten. That the essay implies, the essay requires of us that we should be bodied to simanim of the fish. Either have a be assigned to be marked here that this is a tuna fish, and once we know that it's a tuna fish, we know that somebody a million years ago, whatever, a thousand years ago, somebody checked to see that the tuna fish has snapper bekatkeset. Or if not, then you check that it has a snapper bekatkeset. But if you didn't check that this fish has snapper bekatkeset, or you know, or that you haven't assigned what the name of the fish is, you're just relying on the rope, and then the Rivash claims that that's a violation of the essay of the Nizam. So if that's all it is an essay, then the Mashke Mayotzi Mimenu would be Mutter. So the din of Mashke Mayotzi, Mayotzi and Aser Aser only applies if the original Issa has with it an Issa La, an Issa Malta. If it only has an Issa Rekhi, then there wouldn't be an Issa. That's his interpretation. That's Rabitzel Eponovich's interpretation of the Gemara in the end of the second parak in Avodah Zarah. It's an original pshat. It's one opinion in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara. He says that if you paskin that it's also, I think we paskin that the tzir is also, then that's only the Rabbanim. That can't be there. Because of his cheshbon. Because the cheshbon is that now, once you have a roif, so there's only an essay, there's no law. And once there's only an essay, then the Rabbanim holds that there's no din of Yitzim and also.
The problem is saying that in this Yotzei when you have an Isra Achila, when there's the Chepes of Sholochel, it's Aster. But here it's just a heck that you do over the Hivdalten. But that's a stark attainer, that's a very stark attainer. Here what he says, he says the Maisef, I'll eat the fish, I'll only violate an essay.
Because the rope tells me that there is no, that it's not a trace of fish, but the essay tells me not to rely on rope. But if I'm eating a trace of fish, then it's a trace of fish that has with it an Issa Lav. Even though the mice, I will only violate an essay, you can still say that there will be a din of Yotzim Ra. Right, you can bring it up. Right, you can bring it up. Maybe that's why the Maskonas Agmar is at the Tzir is up. Maybe it's Asmanata. But he suggests that this is the Pshat in that Mandama. At that one point where the Gemara suggested that the, the star hadogim, the dog itself is usher, and the fear of the dogim is mutter, so he suggests that that's the reason why.
Hivdalten doesn't cancel
Dikubaroi. But Misadim, they're all the end, they're not bottom. the Moravian.
So what they check every Sfardim?
I think the Goyim check every single Sfardim. Either Goy have no Nemonis, and Akum has no Nemonis, because he's not in the Parsha of Macholos Osir, he has no Nemonis. But the Gemara says that the same two inefficient Sfardim. The Gemara has a Kalal also on the Chulin, that if a Goy comes to me and he's selling eggs, and he tells me that these are chicken eggs, these kind of eggs or that kind of eggs, and he tells me some kosher bird, so then we assume that he's telling the truth, because the guy is near to us, he's afraid to tell a lie because he's going to lose a lot of business. So that's what a lot of hashgachas are based on, that we assume that the guy are telling the truth, because it's better for their business that they should make sure that they only sell tuna fish. The people who go to check the tuna fish factories in Puerto Rico claim that the guy keep on checking these tuna fish 5 times. Is checked over and over and over again by different, or by going, no Jews there at all. But they're going to keep on checking 5 different times to make sure that they're not putting in any other fish. Not for religious purposes whatsoever, it has nothing to do with the Jewish religion, any other religion, just for business purposes. Not only that, they don't even have other kinds of tuna fish. There are something like 16 or 17 different kinds of tuna fish, so the only, if it says on the outside of your can that this is a skipjack or whatever it is, so they're going to check 5 times to make sure that it's not another kind of tuna fish. So it has to be dafka that kind of tuna fish. Otherwise, they're going to get into trouble. So we assume that that's the Gemara says, not we assume. The Gemara says in Chulin, the Nachri has no nemanis on Macholos Asur, but this is not nemanis. This is mirtas, because we don't know that he really checked and he knows what he's doing. One of the non-kosher animals mentioned specifically in the Chumash is the chazir. There's a famous medrash on the pasuk of Chazir, Lama Nikashmar Chazir, Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHaChazir Ali Yisrael. That Lasi Lava the Chazir will be returned to the Jewish people. What does it mean? It means that Lasi Lava the Chazir is going to be kosher, will be allowed to eat pork. So the Torah Tmima quotes from the Pirush of the Arachayim HaKadosh HaChumish, who interprets how could it be, the laws of the Torah will not change. So he says, not the laws of the Torah will change. The Teva will change. The Chazir, Lasi Lava, will be Malagera Mafis Parsa. Now the Chazir is only Mafis Parsa, but it's not Malagera. And Lossi Lava, the Teva Ha'ilam will change, so therefore the Chazir will be kosher. So the Torah Tmima writes, Hadvarim Halalu, Tmuim, and Inflaim Yod, he doesn't know where in the world the Arachayim HaKadosh got this interpretation from. The source of this passage, the source of this comment, Lamadik Eshmo Chazir Shasa Kadosh Bach Lachzir Yisrael, is truly in the Medrash. But from the context of the Medrash, it becomes very clear what the pshat in the Medrash is. Medrash appears in Parsha Shmini, in Medrash Rabbah, and also in Koheles Rabbah. On the pasuk Masha Hayahu Shayiyah, everything in the world is going to stay the same. But the Medrash says that Chazir refers to Malchus Romi, refers to the Christian religion, who stretch out their hooves like a Chazir, Rashi quotes. Who stretches out his palafayim to claim that he's a kosher animal. Look, I have the simitara of Mafis Parsa, and really he's a faker. So the Christians claim that they're the real Jews, and really the fakers, they're not the real Jews. So and they have the Malchus now, they're fooling the whole world. So the Medrash says, Lamadikashma Chazir, Shasir, why do we call the Christians Chazir? Shasir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir LeYisrael. That Lasi Lavoi, this fraud will not last forever. That the Jewish people will be recognized as the Yam Hashem, and the Jewish religion will be recognized as a true religion, and so on. Men is not talking about eating non-kosher food. He's not talking about eating chazir. He's not talking about eating pork. He's talking about history of the world. Ganz in a different shot. Shlomo Levilna has a very wild comment in one of his Sforim. He writes, even though none of the trefa foods will become kosher, lossi lovoi, but one of them has to become kosher. He says that gidan osher has to become kosher, lossi lovoi. Why? Because the gidan osher, it says in the Chumash that it's forbidden because kinoga b'kaf yerach Yaakov, and the Medrash says on that pasuk, zidorish al shmad, that gidan osher represents the fact that Yaakov Avinu was a tzaddik. What did he do? Was it zindik? He didn't do anything. And this Tzara Shal Esav came and he made a pogrom against the Jews. So the fact that we don't eat Giran Asher is representative of the fact that we keep on suffering pogroms. But Lost Lover, when there won't be any more pogroms, then the Giran Asher will be mutter. It won't represent anything, won't correspond to anything at all. So he says, but this doesn't make any sense. The Dini HaTorah don't change. Dini HaTorah don't change. Maybe according to Reb Shimon, who holds Hashim in time of the Kroah, that you give a reason for a mitzvah and then you And then you determine whether the din, whether the mitzvah applies or not, based on whether the reason for the mitzvah applies. But we don't pass like Rav Shimon, we pass like Rav Shimon Tam Yisrael. Because he says no. He quotes the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that even the Chachamim of the Rav Shimon agree with Rav Shimon, whenever the Torah says you should do this mitzvah because of this and this reason, so then the Gemara says even the Chachamim agree, whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply. So he claims that this is one of those instances. That it says in the Torah that you're not permitted to eat Yiranosha because Kinoga Bekapirach Yaakov and the Medrashim things that to mean because there are pogroms in Moslova, there won't be any pogroms, so the Yiranosha will be Mishpachtili. Pashup Shad is that it's not correct.
You didn't do that in the time of the Torah, that's the time of the Torah that's the Seder, it's not from a
Medrash
that
you're
doing
a
Dushan
Asafi. Yeah.
The Rambam says that it's not possible to get measured because even before Sinai you can't learn out from the Sabine Torah or Sabine Torah. He says everything has to have a choice later on.
Raman says we observe the mitzvah of Gidan Moshe not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu at that time, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai. Even though it doesn't appear in the Chumash, we assume that it was repeated. That's how the Raman learns.
So would this qualify for the Chumash that this is the time?
Who said that this time more than this should qualify? Maybe that was only the time Kedem Matan Torah. Matan Torah is not. Good time. I think the whole thing is what? Even without such rigorous argument.
All the mitzvahs that were given to the old had to be repeated
again. That's what the Rambam wrote. Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos and Gidan Osher makes a big point of that. The Torah later has a din of Tahara Satmeim, that if a person or a Kli becomes Tamei, you have to be tabled the person or Kli in a mikveh. The Torah has two forms of Tahara, either Tzvilon a mikveh or Tzvilon a Mayan. Ach Mayan, a bar mikveh Mayan, yihi a Toha. There are slight differences, there are a few major differences between a mikveh and a Mayan, but just to describe what the difference is, a mikveh is made up of rainwater. If you collect rainwater, you have to have a boim stone, has to be b'eshboren, a shever, a crack in the ground, has to be sitting still, stationary water. Mikveh, the word mikveh means top of the kind, that the water is standing still. If you have, let's say, rainwater that's rolling down a block, even if you have 40 saw, so that's zochlin, and it's generally assumed that that's a psul there, right? Right, a river would be no good if the river comes from melted snow or from rain. If that's the source of the water, or that's the source of the robe of the water, the majority of the water, then you say Ruba Kukula, then the whole mikveh would be no good if it's a river. And the question is, what is the metzius? Maybe one should assume that for every drop of rain that comes, for every drop of snow that comes down from the sky, maybe there are two drops of water that come from underground sources, and therefore it should be treated as a maya. So this is a dispute in the Gemara. What the metzius is. What the metzius is. I have no idea. Stand still. We assume that most rivers have other mountains, like the ocean. But this is the difference between a mikveh and a mayon. There is a question regarding a mayon. A mikveh needs a boim stor. There is a question in Rishonim whether a mayon also needs a boim stor. We are machmel aloha that a mayon for tefillah stor then requires a boim stor. There's a further machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether the requirement for a boim stor for a mayon is a din derais or a din derabbanon. The Bach writes that it's something of the rabbanon. And if you look in the Rosh down Hilchos Mikvaos, he understood that those Rishonim who required Aboim Tzor from Mayim meant it Minatar, they didn't mean Midirabon. The Pashtus is like that. That it's a real Shaila Deraisa, but if Aboim Tzor is needed for Tfilah Sodom by Mayon Minatar, or not?
Mm-hmm. So how could you have a
Maya
with less than
Abba and Sor? I've heard that's the Machlekes, whether the shear of Abba and Sor is the shear in the chapter of the mikvah, so it doesn't apply to Maya. or to shear in the tefillas agavra. So then it applies to mine also. The whole machlok is only if he fits in, the vasacha is really good enough. If he doesn't fit in, it's certainly no good. If he does fit in, maybe he should still say that it's no good than Atera, because that's called Maim Shein Kol Guf Oilu Behem Vasacha. Even though he does fit in, the halacha doesn't have to be bereva. If you have less than Abayim So, it's not considered fitting in. Even though he is, the whole body is submerged underwater. That's the pashtus of the machlokes. The pashtus says that it's a machlokes on the level of the rice. The Bach says that it's only the Rabbanan. The pashtus says that it's a real shadow of the rice. No, the Gemara assumes that most of the water in the ocean is from the underground source. Okay. Okay, made the ocean with Mayonis coming from under the ground. So most of the water in the ocean, even though there's an awful lot of rainwater and snow there, we assume that the rove of the water in the ocean is from Mayonis, from underground source. So even though the ocean is rolling all over the place, Mam is Zoflin, that's good. Zoflin is good if it's a Mayan. Zach, it has to be Zoflin. If it's not Zoflin, it's not a Mayan. If it has, let's say, water that comes from underground source is Mayan, May Mayan, and then the water is diverted to a hashbora, into a crack in the ground, a shev in the ground, and now it's stagnant. Then it wouldn't have a din of mayim, but it only has a din of a mikveh. Even though water originated from a mayim, may mayim is not called a mayim unless it's a, if it's stagnant, then it's called a mikveh. It's not called a mayim. Ikar adin, it says in the Chumash that you only need a mayim for tfilas zav. Mayim chayim for metzora, you need mayim chayim for Eper Poro, but the Tfilas HaTameim, the only Tamei who requires Mayim Chaim is a Zav. But some Goinim insisted that you have to have Mayim Chaim for a Zovah. And since Nashi Didan, since the women today are treated as Sufik, need a Sufik Zovah, so that's why the Achrenim say on the side of the Shulchanot that we are Machmet to require Mayim Chaim. But some do and some don't. If the mikveh collects the water, if the building of the mikveh collects the water on the roof and then it goes down, so obviously that's not Mayim Chaim, so they're not Machmet. But in Europe, in many places, they were machmet to insist that Mayim Chaim for Mayim Chaim, not just that the water should come from a mayon and now be stagnant. No, it should be flowing water. It should still be zeichel. But if it's no longer zeichel, then you're not fulfilling this chumrah from the going. Rashi and the Gemara quotes it. Rambam Chumash quotes and he says that it's wrong. Says that it's against the Tosefta. Rashi also says it's wrong. The Tosefta Megillah says Ein Bein Zav L'Zav Ela. That a Zav needs Mayim Chaim and a Zovah does not need Mayim Chaim. But nonetheless, some Paskim insist that we should be Machmir to insist on Mayim Chaim at Tfilas Noshim.
For Hashakah, for Mitzvah, so let's say a row of Mayim Shulchan and a Shabbat to Mitzvah. You have 60 of Mayim Shulchan and a Shabbat to Mitzvah. That make it one day to Mitzvah?
Yes.
Yes. Now by Mayim,
you do a shaka.
You do a shaka also. So why, if Rove by Mayan, if you have under the rules, it's been said by says on Rove that it's underground springs the Rove to the water.
If you have a body of water that has a mixture of May Kishaman and May Mayan, so then it's determined by the Rove. If the robe is made by Yonah, so it's good.
Why can't you view that one thing has shot that robe is to be made with the water?
I mean, even if the robe is made mikveh, it should also be a shot here. Interesting question.
You hold it in mind when you go to a house or a cabin, and you find it, but if you have a pool,
in the immediate area where this person is being taiva, do you have our bone store water or not? A further area to if everything is all connected. That's why one opinion is that you never need 40 so, you always have 40 so. So it's connected with all the source of the water under the ground. You always have 40 so. Another Rishonim says, no, you have to have 40 so that the person can fit into now.
It has to be inside something.
And it cracks.
No, it's just piled up on the ground.
Yeah.
Would that be good? It's not going to crack, but it's
standing still. It's not moving.
Yeah.
There's a question we showed whether you can be total in snow or not.
It's only good that it's.
We're machmed that even for the tip of snow, you can only use snow when it knows. Paul's mother didn't know if he can use snow. Some Achronim want to say you can use snow, since it's a machloikis, is whether you can use snow before it melted. But some want to say that you can use snow for tfilas play the chuchet. Since tfilas kelim is only the rice and play matechas, and play schuch is only the rabbanim, so that could surely quote some Achronim. I think it's generally not accepted, because the Magen Avraham says that even for the tfilas yadayim, we don't use snow until it melts.
Well, is the problem that it's not in a crack, or it's not water?
It's not considered water.
But the problem is not, but no one says that even though it's water, it's not inside something, and it's not good.
Some say that the snow is no good because it's not the tefillah b'karka. Every mikvah has to have a mochum, and this is not considered in a mochum. If it's piled up like that, it's not considered in a mochum.
You collect the snow in a kleis, it's not considered mayim.
The Mishnah says that there's no din of mayim shuvim on snow. So the pashtus is you can collect snow or ice and kalim and then pour it into the mikvah. The only thing is, the hitch is that we don't do that. L'chatchila we don't do that. If you have a real big shas atzak, you do. But l'chatchila we don't do that. Rav Chaim Oizer writes, in the name of Rav David Kalina, in the Sheila David, who quotes the Ravid wrote a sefer on Hilchas Nida, the Bali HaNefesh. So the Bali HaNefesh, the Ravid has a different shot in that Mishnah. He says that Mishnah Mikvot, in Perek Zayin Mikvot, that says that if you carry snow in a container, it doesn't become Mayim Shuvim. That's only with respect to the dinder abonim of gimel lugim mayim shuvim posel mishamik. But with respect to the dinder aisa, that rubo shov is no good, then it wouldn't help. Then you would say that if you carry the snow in a kli, it would become mayim shuvim. But that's what l'chatchila we're choshish for that ravid. So we don't have. The Mishnah is talking about that. That a mikveh that's a rubo filled up, and you want to be mashlim just the last few quarts of water. So you can be mashlim the last bits of the last bit of the mikveh, the last lap of the mikveh, be mashlim by carrying snow or ice in a container. But what about to carry the robe of the 40 saw of water in a container? So the Ravid claims that that's no good. So Rav David Kalina said you have to be choshish for the Ravid. Rav Chaim Oizer writes, so we have to listen to Rav David Kalina, who said we have to listen to the Ravid. So that's usually we avoid it. Unless you can't. If you can't, you can't. So then you rely on the robe of Rishon. The robe of Rishon says it's good. That takes care of the problem of shuvim, but there's still going to be the problem of haviyosei didover hamikabel tumah. A flat shovel is a pshuti klei mateches, it's still mikabel tumah.
They take the pieces and put the pieces in the oven. They sometimes that.
Yeah.
Shovel. Pshuti klei.
Yeah.
And the shovel is not.
Okay.
The
person carrying it is a problem. The person carrying it is also a problem. That's also called Havayasai, the Dabar and Kalashim. There are easy ways to solve the problem. And Hilchos Mikvot, they give you 8 to 10 to solve the problem. But that's one of the problems the person has to consider. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that not only does snow not become mayim shuvim, they don't quote the rice in the Shulchan Aruch. They just say snow is never mayim shuvim. Not only is that so, ice, no. Any water that's not in a liquid state, even if you had mayim shuvim and you froze it, once it's in a frozen state, it loses the status of mayim shuvim, and then when it melts later on, so it doesn't become, it's not choy zivinia, it doesn't revert back to become mayim shuvim. Yeah.
And that's no problem in the world.
Strictly speaking, based on the Shulchan Aruch, it says that it's good. You can take mayim shuvim mamish, say mayim shuvim, and squeeze it. And then once it's frozen, it's ice mayim shuvim. That's what it says in the Mechadik, quote the Tosefta. And then put it in the mikvah and let it melt. Squeeze it in the mikvah. Yeah.
But there'll still be a problem to be pushed on rizet, right?
Right. You'll still have this rizet, right? The Chatchili shouldn't do that because of the rizet, but just with the leaving out the Sheila's Dov, leaving out Rav David Kalin, and just reading the Shulchan Aruch, it says that that's okay. That it only has it in a Maim Shuvim and it's in a liquid state. And the Dvar Avraham wants to say the same is true regarding steam. He says if you have Maim Shuvim and then you cook it till it evaporates, and then you condense it. So when it's in the gas, and when it's a state of gas, then there's no din of mayim shuvim, just like there's no din of mayim shuvim when it's in a frozen state. There's only din of mayim shuvim when it's in a liquid state. When it's in a solid state or a gas state, there's no din. So he says you can heat the water till it evaporates, and then have it condense again, and then it'll be oy shuvim. That's a shaila. You may be able to do that on all trays of food. Let's say I soak, I make schnapps. How do you make schnapps? You soak grain with water until it gives in a very sharp flavor. And then you evaporate it, and then you cook it. You don't cook it till 212, because then everything is going to evaporate and everything is going to condense. You only cook it half of the way, so that only the alcohol content will evaporate, and water will not evaporate. Alcohol evaporates at much less than 212, half the amount. So when the alcohol evaporates, and then you condense it later, so then you're going to have very strong schnapps. So maybe that should be kosher the paper. Maybe all schnapps should be kosher the paper. Let's say if you have brandy or cognac, which is also, let's say I take a tray for wine, and then I do the same stunt. The tray for wine has alcohol in it, and then I cook this till that degree of heat so that the alcohol should evaporate, and the wine will not evaporate, and then I'll condense it later. So then it's going to be very sharp because it's going to be the alcohol. So maybe that should be cautious. Maybe I should say that since when it's in the state of gas, it can't be trayed, so even if it condenses later on. It's also kosher. From the other day, it says not so. So Ramon, the other day, Melchus Tam Yemen says that it's not so. But even that's the way they used to manufacture, he quotes the Chuvah Suri Vosh. That's why they've been manufacturing schnapps for many, many years already. For a few centuries, they've been manufacturing schnapps. Someone already discovered this, Chachma, many years ago. In the encyclopedia, they write that this was discovered centuries ago, they don't know exactly when. This Kunt, how to make schnapps. That you heat the. You heat the mixture to a certain degree of heat so that only the alcohol will evaporate and later on condense, and the water that doesn't have the sharp flavor of the alcohol will remain behind. So in the Yeridea, the Ramah quotes in Hilchos Tam Yemen, he quotes in the name of the Rivosh, that it remains us. And others disagreed. Others held the Mishkan Et Yankiv has a tshuva. This is the tshuva quote. The Mishkan Et Yankiv has said that it's mutter. Based on the Mishkan Et Yankiv, you can drink all the schnapps you want on face. Not when it's in the state of gas. It's not from, we never heard any Jews drink schnapps from this. Shaila is that maybe we can rely on the Mishkan Et Yankiv Svara with respect to Chometz Shalal Vatesach. That's the Shaila. Maybe you can rely because Chometz Shalal Vatesach, to eat Chometz Vatesach is an Issa Koriz Deraisa. To eat Chometz Shalal Vatesach is only a Chumim Midirabah, only an Issa Dirabah. So maybe you can rely on the Mishkan Et Yankiv Svara with respect to Chometz Shalal Vatesach. But the Ramah says not so. The Ramah says Tam Yenim is only the Rabbanah. And we still don't rely on that story in respect to the family. Rav Chaim Oizer writes that in Europe there were communities where they would drink brandy and they would drink cognac without any hashgacha. They relied on the svara of the Mishkan Et Yankiv. But he says himself that it's against, maybe they relied on it because it's only a Dinder Rabbanan, but it's against the Ramah. The Ramah says it's Eirish Matzah. The Ramah says it's Eirish Matzah.
What's the svara? What's the
eating? When it's in the state of gas, it can't be macholos asuris. In order to be trayed, you have to have either oichol or mashke or something. When it's in a state of gas, then it's not food the flock. Even when it condenses later and reverts back to the liquid state, so that's the shot. So there are more quotes in the name of the divorce that it is awesome. So I do say when it reverts back to the state of being edible, so it is awesome. And the Rivosh and the Mishkan Et Yankiv has a tshuva where he wants to support those early Achronim who thought not so. So his opinion has clearly not been accepted. Nobody just said schnapps on paper.
If Stavi Inamot has decided no, so when he says he has to stay, he has to still be in
Anachinami. That's years ago, Tam Yenim was also Banor. The Ramah writes that his man is Anikra, then we assume that Tam Yenim is Muta Banor. So Chatzil wa Machnik, but whenever there's a heft in the river, we go on Anikra, then Tam Yenim is Muta Banor. That's the Shalad, the Rivosh, the Ramah quotes the Rivosh, that even this man is there, that Tam Yenim is Muta Banor, he still says that after evaporating and condensing it, that it's still up. Still remains up. This is the shaila. What bracha you say on cognac? What bracha do you say on brandy? Do you say shahako? Do you say barfiago? But you say this word that it's that when it's in the gaseous, in a state of gas, it's bracha the shem echa. Then later on, it's considered like a panim kadosh, it's like a new thing. So if you have a new panim kadosh, you say shahako. Lost its whole taste history. If it's not treif anymore, but lost its bracha barfiago. That's the Shalat Halacha, what bracha you should make. At Tzvi Pesach, Frank has a tshuva, he says that you say Borki HaBracha. On cognac and on, he says that it's a vadai. It's a vadai, it's not a sofet. even though you've evaporated it, even though you've distilled it, that's halacha kavadai, that it maintains its original state. And others, he quotes, Rabbi Yankif Emnach, he quotes other poskim, we're not so convinced that these, no, we don't accept the Mishnah as Yankif, then maybe it should be a topic. The Chachma should say, Shahakal Niyam Advan. So, if the Yevit, if you said Shahakal on wine, you'd be Yaitit. If the Yevit, you said Barfi Agrofen on water, you wouldn't be Yaitit. So, maybe that's a shot. What Prophet do you say on brandy? But brandy or cognac, we assume for sure has to have a Hagrofa because it's made from regular wine, it's made from Stanyeno. It is mevushal. There is a din of mevushal. If I have kosher wine, that's mevushal, and then the goy handles the wine, then he doesn't make it off to the magor. But if the goy manufactured the wine and already became after, and then he cooks it, it doesn't become mutter because he cooked straight the wine. When the wine became after, it remains off, even after bishul. The Gemara learns out in the Pasuk, Oy Beged, O Beged, O Or, O Beged, the Rabbi Shalosh, Al Shalosh, Ad Goy, Tisem, Rebbe Tishtim, the Metamu, the Shwabs, the first name, the Shabbos, Ad Chav Zayin. And not only is a Beged, the Kabbal Tumah, even a piece of cloth that has Shalosh, Al Shalosh, Ad Goy, provided that it's Tisem, Rebbe Tishtim. If it's some other material, then it has to be larger than Shalosh, Al Shalosh, Ad Goy, it's very tiny, less than 3 by 3 inches, very tiny piece. Rabbi Kochanan has a tshuva where somebody suggested to him that the minig in Europe that there used to be mekabel kinyan, let's say when a chosin gets married, so you make a kabbalah's kinyan, or when the rabbi sells a chometz to you, so you appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chometz. The minig is that you make a kabbalah's kinyan. So the kabbalah's kinyan is supposed to give over a kli. Or the Gemara says in the first parak in Bab Metziah that I say kiman the pasuk don, that whatever. Then Neitel Amok Mishar Magaz and Ezmal Amok Mishar Magaz and then Mashar Yachloka. So whatever it's Amok Mishar Magaz, it's considered Kiman B'Pasuk Dam. It's considered as if that's separate from everything else. So if I give you a handkerchief and what you're holding on to has Gimel Agimel as voice under it, even though you're not holding on to the whole handkerchief, that's good enough for a Kenyan Siddur. That's how the Gemara says in the first parish in Babylon Siddur. Some Adam Gadol suggested to Rabbi Tzvachana that maybe that should only apply to a handkerchief in the three bigger dirt that used to be made from Temer or from Pishtim. But today, the handkerchiefs are not made from Temer, not made from Pishtim. They're made from cotton. So maybe there, the din is that you have to have much larger for Kabbalah from the purposes. You have to have, for Kabbalah from the purposes, you have to have more than Gimel or Gimel Azbot. So maybe for Kenyan Suda purposes also, you should have to have more than Gimel or Gimel Azbot. That was the practice of some old European rabbanim, that when they came to make a Kabbalah Kinyan, they wouldn't use a handkerchief, they would use their kapotet, because the kapotet was still made from wool. So they would give over part of the jacket for the purpose of Kinyan Suda, and the other, the chosin or the balabot, would be holding on to a gimel gimel voice of a woolen garment. Today the kapotet is also not made from wool, also made from synthetic material or whatever, something else, but also not made from wool. So this is a shadow that was posed to Rabbi Tzvachana on the Be'er Yitzchok, and it's true. But he says that there's a Mefurisha, he dug up Mamash. He dug up a Mefurisha, Tiski HaTesis in Balabasra, that says Mamash. That even if you use Shah Minim, other materials, Gimel HaGimel HaGboiz is good enough. Then he goes into a whole tukul to explain why should it be so? Why shouldn't the size of the piece of cloth for the purpose of Kinyan Suda, why shouldn't it be dependent on the size that you would require for the purpose of the Kabbalah stone.
If you find the purpose of something 2x2 exposed, and you use it,
you
have a bottle that comes
2x2. Yeah. So what do you think it comes from? I think it is Mishab Tumim. I think it is. If you're using it, yeah. But
it's just
a piece of cloth.
A handkerchief?
The whole handkerchief.
The
whole handkerchief, yeah. Yeah, but if I only gave a half a handkerchief, no, the shadow goes, the minute always goes, they gave a half a handkerchief, and the rabbi still holding on to half, and the person holds on to half. They say, command the pasuk don't. So how much has to be the other that there should be command the pasuk? The Gemara says in the first place, no, see, gimelah's voice is good enough. Just give the whole handkerchief, then it will be good. It doesn't have to be gimelah's voice. Yeah. In Parsha Shemini, you have all of the dinim of Tumas Maga. In Parsha Tazri and Masor, you have all the dinim of Tumah Hayotza and Miguf. But these are two different types of Tumah. So the difference is in Halach. And the Mishnah says in Pesachim that even when you have a Pesach Abba B'Tumah, only such people who have a Tumas Maga can eat the Korban Pesach. Whoever has a Tumah Hayotza and Miguf is not permitted to eat from the Korban Pesach. And many other people can as well. Tosis in the beginning of Kol Abasa quotes that there's a Machlekes HaTanaim in the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah Chalot. Chalot Chutz Loretz is always Tomei by definition, because Chutz Loretz the Rabbana has a Tumas Eretz Amin. It's like one big cemetery in the Rabbana. So Chalot Chutz Loretz is always Tomei, but it's only Tomei Tumas Maga. From the Rabbana, they instituted the whole Takon of Chalot Chutz Loretz, but the Kohanim have to eat it. How can they eat it if it's Tomei? They said Chalot Chutz Loretz, since the whole thing is only invented by the Rabbana, the Kohanim is permitted to eat it if he's only Tomei Tumas Mago, or if it is Tomei, the Chala can never have a Tumas Yotzan on the Gufa. Chala can't be a Zav Zav and Yidi Alevis on the Surah. Chala is always a Tumas Mago. So just like the Chala is always a Tumas Mago, so even if the Kohen Ha'echel is Tomei Tumas Mago, he's also permitted to eat the Chala's Kutlach. But if he has a Tumas Yotzan on the Gufa, then he's not permitted to eat the Chala's Kutlach. So the place is quoted from Achlevi Satanan from Mishnah's Chala. What if he had a Tumah Hayotza Megufa, let's say he was a Zav Zav and Nidhi Aleris Mitzor or whatever, and then they were table in the Mikveh and they have the status now with Ful Yom. Is it Ful Yom, Dino Ki Tumah Hayotza Megufa or not? So I say that since the person is table in the Mikveh, so the Tumah Hayotza Megufa is gone. He still maintains the status of Tumah, that's like a Tumah Smaga. It's like he was touching himself. At the moment that I was table in the Mikveh, I started off as a Zav and I was table in the Mikveh, and now I'm a Palim Chadosh, I'm a new person, but this new person that I am was touching the old person by identity. I'm the same person I was before I switched to become a new person. So that's like a Tumas Mago. But he's saying no, that the Tzvila in the Mikveh only takes two off when he's still a Tzvul Yom, takes two off the higher level of Tumah, and a lower level of Tumah, the Gabi Tumah, the Kachin he maintains, and that lower level of Tumah is called the Tumah Yatzon of Gufa. So Tosis quotes that that's the machlokes HaTanaim. Tosis in Zlochim learns that that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Whether Tvoyom Dezav Kizav Domi. And the first person in Zlochim, whether Tvoyom Dezav Kizav Domi or not, would be again, let's say, a Pesach Abba B'Tumah. Whether Tvoyom Dezav is permitted to eat a Pesach Abba B'Tumah. At night he'll be Tohar. Okay. Can he bring it? Okay, can he bring it? Is he allowed to bring it or not? That would be the shana. Or let's say, by other carbonates, the dinner, Tosis claims the dinner that a tumah of the tzibur, by a carbon tzibur, is only if it's a tumah smaga. If it's a tumah yotzan b'gufa, not. The Tosis claims that this is the Gemara Shaila, but it's Yom Dezav, it's considered a tumah smaga or a tumah yotzan b'gufa, a tumah sriya. A Shlomo Ladumah quotes that his brother had a suffix, that Saladum had a suffix whether the Yoledet, Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parashas Tazria, the Oledus has to wait till the end of the 40 days or till the end of the 80 days in order to be permitted to eat Shum of a Kachin. And she's called a Fulas Yom Moro. Even though she already went to the Mikveh and she already had Harib Shemesh, we consider her a Ful Yom Moro until the end of the 40 days till the end of the 80 days. So is that really called a Ful Yom Moro? Even when it to Achilas Chalas Kutlar, she's called Ful Yom Moro. I've only been engaged to Shum of a Kachin. Maybe not get to Chalas Kutlar, it's not. That's a shayla. Shlomo Adun himself has another shayla. The Gemara beginning of Chagiga quotes on Rav Gimel, Rav Dalet. The Gemara quotes Rav Akiva's din, but he's not the oral kitame. Rav Akiva holds that oral has a din of the tame that is forbidden to enter the Beis Hamikdash and he's prohibited from bringing korban riyah. Whoever can enter is obligated to drink. Whoever is not permitted to enter the Beis Hamikdash is not obligated to drink. So the pasuk from which he derives oral kitame is a pasuk where there's a ribui next to the word zav. So he wants to know, Rav Shlomo Ravuna wants to know whether Oral Kitame, according to Rabbi Akiva, whether Dina Kituma Hayotza Olam Igufay, or Dina Kitame, he's not Tomei at all. That's the Shaila. Well, no, he's not Tomei at all. But Rabbi Akiva has a pasuk that we treat him as if he were Tomei. So do we treat him as if he were Tomei Tuma Hayotza Olam Igufay, because the pasuk that we're not from is a pasuk speaking of Zah? Or no, we just treat him like a Tumas Maga, not Kimine for Shuma. So we committed to Chalas Kutma. An oral is not permitted to eat Truma Deraita. What about to eat Chalas Chutzla? Maybe it's Mutu. Is it Mutu? All the dinim of mikvah, learned out from this, it said, is so little. So few psukim, but there are a lot of dinim about mikvah. So we know that Sunday morning we're going to start learning Sukkot again. I'll learn Sukkot in a long time.